Diane Shanker had recently graduated from Reed College and was living in Fairbanks when she heard a rumor that welding union 798 had been forced to hire women to build the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. This summer, Alaska's Energy Desk is bringing you a series called Midnight Oil about the state's complicated relationship with the pipeline. A 21-year-old with no experience in construction, Shanker convinced the union office manager to let her work with an all-male crew of welders from the South.
I wasn't worried about them not wanting me there because I was female. My biggest worry is that I really wouldn't be able to do it, that it would be too physically hard and that I'd oversold myself. And I didn't even know what a welding rod is. Unbeknownst to me, before I arrived, they had heard the rumor that they might be forced to have women on their crews, and they had made this big pact amongst themselves that if any female showed up, nobody would ever speak to that female. And so that lasted about 4 hours. They gave me this, what they thought was the worst job on the crew, which is crawling along on your hands and knees under the pipeline, a mile or so back from the rest of the crew, all by yourself, and picking up the spent welding rod. But they thought that was just the worst thing they could do to somebody. And to me, it was just, I loved it. I used to joke with the guys on the crew, you know, about all the guff they'd given me about, oh, you women can't do this work. And I would tell them, you couldn't wait tables for 5 seconds. I mean, I've carried more weight on a tray than I have to do in this job. The rule was, if you were a welder's helper, if you put in so many hours, then you got your card, you know, your union card. You got to join the union. And so when I had put all my hours in, I went to the whoever was in charge and said, hey, I did it. I have my hours. I want my card down. They said, no. He made it perfectly clear that I could keep asking about my card and he'd have me fired immediately, or I could just drop it and never bring it up again. And he said, you know, you might win in the long run, but meanwhile you'll be out of the job and all that money. You know, several of them actually came up and kind of grudgingly admitted that they didn't think women would work, and they thought it was great that I was working, and they kind of dropped the animosity. They never dropped the pornography and the sexual references and, you know, the kind of day-to-day sexism, but they weren't mad or trying to get me hurt after that. You know, there was a lot of joking and horsing around and practical jokes, and one guy threw me in a little pond of water one day, and I told the crew, you know, you like to joke and kid around all the time, but don't throw me in the water because I don't know how to swim. And one guy threw me in the water anyway, and you know, it was scary for me because I really can't swim, and I had to struggle to get out of there, and the crew just ran him off immediately. I mean, that minute, he went back on the bus and was flown out of the camp. So, you know, they had kind of come around to being my friends.
Years later, Diane Shanker would testify in a lawsuit brought by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission against Union 798 for discrimination against women and minorities. Shanker is now retired and living in Anchorage. The story is part of Midnight Oil, a new podcast from Alaska's Energy Desk. And to hear more, go to alaskapublic.org or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.